Friends, my name is Kevin Key.
As we think in regard to our life here and what the Bible says about God, good people, we come to an understanding as we read and study the Scripture a number of things about God. We come to see that God is eternal in His existence. In that, we realize this to mean is that God has always existed and God will always exist. The Bible also identifies for us is that God has created man after His image, and this is in part a way in which we understand the love of God. As we consider God, we also tonight need to understand that God is a God of giving, and He expects His children to be like Him in this regard. Good people, when we think in regard to the giving of God, first off, we need to understand is that God gives us everything that is essential to life. We have been masterfully made by the Master Himself. God has created us after His image, according to His very likeness. And God breathed into mankind's nostrils a breath of life, and He became a living soul or a living being. We understand God's love for humanity from the onset of creation, and also what we find in Genesis chapter 2 is that God had created an oasis in giving man not only an earth to inhabit, but in like figure then to provide all of man's needs at that given time. We understand also not only from Genesis chapter 2 God's love, but we understand that God cares for His creation. As you read throughout the Old Testament Scripture, good people, you cannot help but come to that realization that God is always there in a caring manner for His creation, more specifically for mankind. How do we know that? Because God is our provider. We find throughout the Old Testament and then also in the New Testament how that God provides through nature, how God is there through His creation even, through the things that He has created, and how that God even works through humanity that was created after His very image. And the Bible explains in an implicit manner as to how God provides for us even from a providential manner. Our God gives unto us everything that you and I need throughout the course of our life here for our comfort, but also in the essential things that we need. We understand concerning God and His giving is that God provides mankind with redemption. The Bible tells us concerning the state that we were in prior to obedience to the gospel that without God, you and I were lost. The Bible reveals is that every person sins. That's 100% whoever has or whoever will live, who is living, sins against God. And God identifies concerning sin is that it is a very serious matter in His sight. Why is sin serious in the sight of God? Because sin is a violation of God's laws. God speaks to us through the New Testament Scripture today. And in giving us these instructions, God wants us to understand exactly the steps that we must take in life. And whenever one deviates from that, whenever one steps in a direction that is contrary to the guidance that God provides to us, then that is a violation of His law, and God identifies that as sin. And that is serious to the point to where there are consequences involved in all of that. The ultimate in those consequences is separation from God. Sin separates us from God. And the only way in which man is able to be redeemed of that is through Jesus Christ our Lord. We realize that Jesus Christ surrendered His life for us at Calvary's cross, giving us an opportunity, a way of salvation. But in like figure, our God calls upon us as human. God calls upon us as a soul that has been created after Him, that if we want to be reunited with Him, if we want our sins forgiven, and if we want to be in a relationship with Him, then we must surrender ourselves to give ourselves into complete obedience to the commandments of God, beginning in baptism, and then changing our life to change our life to the point to where we will live and walk according to New Testament standards that God lays down. And then and only then do we have salvation. But yet we need to understand that it is given unto us through God by giving Jesus Christ His Son for us. Good people, also we understand that God has given us His inspired message. It's so important for us to understand that no doubt God has given us a means of redemption, but that's not all that God wants us to know in regard to our salvation. If God had only supplied His means, that is the plan of salvation through the Scripture, and then left it at that, good people, we would be miserable in life. Why? Because I trust that I'm not alone. We would fall back to the same sin that separated us from God. And God identifies what sin is, and God then identifies throughout the New Testament Scripture concerning the path that we must walk after we obey the gospel. And in this, not only what it is that God requires of us as Christians, but what we need to understand concerning the fact of being productive citizens in this world, and how that as a result then of our connection with God and living in this world, how that we shine as a light into the world round and about us, and our life is in essence a testimony to others concerning who God is. And isn't that magnificent to know the way in which God works through us? But yet at the same time, God has given us His inspired Word. And without His Word, none of this would be possible. He's given unto us all things pertaining to life and unto godliness. Everything that we need to know about God, but more specifically for you and me as we live here upon this earth and want to please God, He's given us everything that is essential for our relationship with Him, so that not only can we gain, but we can maintain our relationship with Him throughout the course of our life here until death. Yes, God also has given unto us a hope. The Bible tells us concerning the promise of Jesus Christ is that God promises those who are faithful to Him in Christ, an eternal reward in heaven with Him. In fact, we learn through the book of Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19, this hope we have as an anchor so steadfast and sure. Why do we have this hope so solid? Why do we have this hope as an anchor so steadfast and sure? Good people, because it is in a God who has promised it. God who does not lie. It's impossible for God to lie. And when we look to the way in which God has worked from the very onset of creation, and as we consider the way in which God worked even in the Old Testament and the way in which God reveals Himself in the keeping of His promises in the New Testament, you and I, as Christians, rest with assurance concerning the hope that we have in Christ as long as we do what God commands of us. Our God is a giving God, and we've identified four areas tonight, and there's so many other ways in which we understand that God gives unto us. And therefore, tonight I tell you that it should not surprise us that in our relationship with God as His children, in the family of God, as Christians who are to be Christ-like even, that God expects you and me to be giving people. Christians, the very center of our life, ought to be surrounded by giving. In what ways does God want you and me to give? I believe first and foremost, God wants us to understand that we must give ourselves back unto God. Good people, before we obey the gospel message identifies to us that while we were living in sin, we were slaves to sin. And we've already said that we were separated or alienated from God. In all of that, though, in Christ, we belong to God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, the Apostle Paul, in speaking to the saints of Corinth, identifies this, that we have been bought with a price. And as a result of that purchase then, you and I belong to Jesus Christ, more specifically to the context. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, he speaks that not only individually has Christ purchased us, but collectively as the church, our Lord and Savior laid down His life for us. And in that then, God says that we no longer belong to ourselves, we belong to God, and therefore we ought to give ourselves over to the One who owns us, over to God. As we had in our Scripture reading a few moments ago from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 5, in verse 5, we read concerning the Macedonians is that they first gave of themselves. What a profound statement concerning these people. They realized that not only did God require them to give of their means, and that's the overall context of 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and into and through chapter 9, but he says concerning their relationship with God is that they first gave of themselves, and that's then why we see that they gave of their means and in other ways that God required of them. And God wants you and me to give ourselves to Him first and above all. We give ourselves beginning first and above all to Christ in baptism. But in like figure then, whenever we obey the gospel, God says that if we truly are giving ourselves over to Him, then also we're giving ourselves over to the church. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." You and I need to understand the significance of the church and our involvement with the church as it pertains to our relationship with God. And not only will we give ourselves over to working in the church and for edifying of the body of Christ, but also God wants us to understand that we come together. And I realize tonight that as I present this portion of the lesson, I'm speaking to the choir, if you would, because you are the ones who continually keep coming back morning, night, and also then again on Wednesdays. But God wants us in our giving back to Him, ourselves back to Him, to worship Him in spirit and in truth every opportunity that we have. But then another aspect of our giving our lives back over to Him is that we give Him the fullness of our lives. We sacrifice ourselves on a day in and day out basis. God does not require us to die per se for Him, but rather that whenever we die, that we have lived for Him. And with that then, every detail of our life, everything that we say, everything that we do needs to be centered in and around serving God. And whenever we do that, then God looks at us as what He commands of us giving ourselves back to Him each and every moment of our life here. But the Bible says that in order for us to be successful in this, you and I need to give ourselves over with an attention to reading. Reading about what? Reading about God through His inspired message. Whenever we think in regard to reading the Bible, a lot of people will engage throughout the course of a year in a Bible reading program. And by that I mean that they will commit to saying, "I'm going to read the Bible through in the course of a year." And that's great. And I certainly encourage that. And I know that our elders would encourage you to do so beginning in January or even in September to begin saying, "You know, I'm going to read the Bible through." But as we read and study the Bible, we need to understand the significance of that word study. To study means, as what Paul identified to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 13 through 15, is that one needs to meditate upon the Word of God. Whenever we meditate upon God's Word, we evaluate what it is that God is communicating to those to whom His message was originally given, but not only what it meant to those individuals, but in like figure, what is the overall context? How would it apply to you and me as Christians today? And then how does our life line up? How do we compare to what it is that we are finding in the Scripture? God wants us on a daily basis to give ourselves over to reading and studying, meditating continually upon His Word and the life that we live here. God's Word, the gospel of Christ, is the power unto salvation. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15 that God's Word is able to make one wise unto salvation. Not only as to how one or what one must do in order to receive salvation, but what one must continue to do in order to live right before God. As we live as Christians and think in regard to our giving, we must give heed to all things. One cannot accept part of what God commands and reject those things that are difficult or those things that would be contrary to our life. God wants you and me to understand the importance of applying everything to our lives that is found in the context of the New Testament Scripture. We need, in doing this, to understand the necessity of taking heed to the things that we have been taught. Many of us have had the privilege of being brought up in the Lord's church. And as a result then of being reared in the body of Christ, no doubt the doctrine that the New Testament teaches has been taught time and time again. But yet at the same time, as people obey the gospel from time to time, they don't own their faith. They do not buy into reading and studying for themselves exactly what it is that God commands. And then before we know it, we find is that people will drift away. And Paul identified, or excuse me, the Hebrews writer identifies in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1 that we need to take heed to the things that we have been taught, lest we drift away. And that word drift away is nautical language in the Greek language. It's as a ship that its anchor does not hold. And before the person knows it, they've drifted far and far away off course. And God says that by all means that can be true with a Christian in our life here. But God says that in order for us to maintain the course, in order for us to stay true to the direction that we are aspiring to go, and good people, that is eternal life in heaven with God, we've got to be doers of the Word, making the application every single day of our life. And that is committing heart, soul, mind, and strength to loving God in complete obedience every moment of our life here. We need to take heed to the things that we have been taught. And by all means, a part of this, God wants us to understand that in our giving, we have an obligation to give back unto God in a way in which He has blessed us. Everything that we have in life belongs to God. I've run into some interesting people in the world, in Indiana, where I was reared, in Tennessee, over around the Knoxville area, while we were going through the school of preaching, in Pennsylvania, where we worked, and even here in McMinnville, Tennessee, where people have identified concerning the things that they have in life, they feel as if those things are theirs. They have worked long, hard, rigorous hours. They put in so much time invested into their education, into their work, and therefore everything that they have is theirs. And good people, that's the wrong attitude. Those individuals do not realize truly what it is that God reveals to us through the Scripture, is that God supplies everything that we have in life. If it were not for God, we would have nothing. And with the idea and the fact that God is responsible for all that we have, then God says that He does place us as stewards over all that He places into our possessions. Well, what does that mean? Good people, it means that we are to be wise with the things that God has placed under our care. If it's money, we need to make certain that we spend that money wisely. And somebody says, well, you know, in the church, it's important for the eldership to make certain that they invest the church money, the contribution wisely, that they use it wisely, if you would. It's not only important for an eldership to do that, it's crucial for every member of the church to do that in our life. Why? Because we will give an account even for our spending habits here in this world. That may surprise some. Yes, by all means, the things that we spent our monies upon. Why? Because really and truly it belongs to God. You know, in that then too, God says is that because He has blessed us, it should not surprise us then that God requires us to give back unto Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, Paul, in writing to the saints at Corinth, said that, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do you. Upon the first day of the week, let each one give back as he has been prospered, that there be no collection whenever I come. As you look into Paul's letter a year later in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 7 through 13, God tells us that whenever we give, we are to be a cheerful giver. Why? Because God doesn't want us to give of necessity. He doesn't want us to give begrudgingly. God wants us to understand that these things have been bestowed upon us because of God, and therefore we give back. Why do we give back? Good people, we give back for the work of the church. And that's the responsibility then of the elders, to make certain that the funds are used for the work of the church. And you and I have a responsibility to give cheerfully and to give as we have been prospered, to give in a manner that will glorify our God. As we think in regard to our giving back, I'm reminded of the widow. The Bible identifies as that she gave all that she had. I believe she gave two mites, if memory serves me correct. Mark chapter 12 and verse 42. And you remember the context. The apostles, the disciples of that day rebuked her. Is that all that you're going to give? And Jesus says she gave more than you all. I would imagine that they were a little perplexed over that. What do you mean? I threw in $20. I threw in $50. How did she give? I believe she had the attitude of the Macedonians. She first gave of herself. She was giving with the right attitude and heart behind it. And as you and I give, we need to understand that we're giving to the Lord. Just a small amount in comparison to the way in which He gives to us. And we need to give so that the work of the church will not be hindered. But God also identifies concerning our giving is that it is so essential for us to give ourselves on a continual basis in prayer. We learn concerning Jesus is that prayer was a very vital part of His life upon the face of the earth. He dwelt here as God. John chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But yet at the same time, while He was here, He was 100% man. John chapter 1 and verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. While Jesus was here as a man, He understood the necessity. He understood the importance. He understood the value in turning to our God in prayer. Turn through the New Testament Scripture sometime and look to the number of times that Jesus prayed unto the Father. It is amazing to see how He prayed and why He prayed unto our Heavenly Father. We find that the apostles were so amazed with Jesus and His ability to offer prayer that they said, "Lord, teach us how to pray." And He did. And not only did He teach them how to pray, as is recorded in Matthew chapter 6, He also, through that, has taught us how to pray in relation with what we find also in John chapter 17, verses 1 through 21. What I consider there in John chapter 17 to truly be the Lord's Prayer. There, we realize that as Christians, we are to pray. And the first century church, not only apostles, the first century church realized and they accessed that line that God had given them in prayer on a continual basis. As Paul wrote to the saints in Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, he said, "Pray without ceasing." I've had some people say to me, "Does that mean that I pray 24 hours, 7 days a week?" And I say, that's a pretty good notion. What God is identifying to us there through the words of the Apostle Paul to these saints in Thessalonica is that prayer is to be a very vital part of our life. I believe that we ought to pray to God. We ought to give ourselves over to God in prayer in the morning, at mid-morning, at noontime, shortly after noontime, in the early afternoon, at mealtime. You say, "Kevin, that's praying without ceasing." Yes, it is. And as Christians, we need to give ourselves multiple times over to our God in prayer. But you know, as we think about praying to God, we also need to understand the significance, the importance of giving God thanks. Usually, whenever we pray to God, we will ask Him for something. And a lot of times we learn, not only by what we find in Scripture that God answers prayer, but we've learned in our life that God is listening to us with favor as His children. And God is continually working to offer us an answer to our prayer. And then in that, God wants us to thank Him. As parents, we relate with that, do we not? We do things for our children. Why do we do things for our children? I would trust that you do things for your children the same as Dawn and I have and continue to do for our children because we love them, because they are our children and there's an obligation, but also there's this desire to do for them. And yet at the same time, if we continually did for them without any sign of appreciation, we would be a little disappointed with that. Amen. Our God operates even above the way in which we do here. And God wants us to appreciate Him for all that He does for us. And that's why we find in the Scripture, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, always giving thanks to God the Father. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20, in all things giving thanks unto the Father. Philippians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Paul instructed the saints at Philippi to give thanks unto God. Christians are to be giving people. As we think in regard to our giving, we must give ourselves back to God. We must give attention to reading. We must give heed to all things. We must give money so that the Lord's work can continue on. We must give ourselves every day over to prayer. And then we must not forget to give God thanks for all that He does for us. Tonight we ask in closing, have you given your life over to Christ? Well, how do we do that? By confessing Christ to be the Son of the living God, by submitting ourselves to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin, and then being raised from that watery grave of baptism to walk in newness of life.